From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. For our series on childbirth beginnings, we continue today with our discussion about daycare. We assembled a mix of middle-class parents to tap into the hushed discussions about daycare that take place alongside soccer fields or among trusted friends. Seven parents are in our roundtable. Five mothers, one grandmother, and one man who was briefly a stay-at-home dad. And all are from D.C., where daycare costs can be quite high. We hear first from Stacy Ferguson. The mother of three says the daycare dilemma is almost always on her mind.
90% of my time is spent balancing, juggling, thinking about it.
Oh, it's ever pervasive. It's just always there. It's a strata of parenthood that just never goes away. It's always on your mind.
Even when it's working well, you're still
even when it's working well. Yeah.
Whether they are nannies or babysitters or daycare providers, anyone who is in the business of taking care of children that are not their own, do they earn enough money based on what they do?
No,
probably not.
No way.
And yet, if I flip the question and asked, does daycare cost too much money?
Right. Yes.
How can both be right?
You're right.
Personal question, but I hope you don't mind me asking. How much of your family budget goes toward daycare? How expensive is it for you?
My second daughter, when we had her in a Montessori school, it was probably excess of $10,000 a year. Little child. I mean, you know, I don't know that I paid that much when I went to college. Of course, I'm a little bit older, but, you know, and I went to an in-state school, but still.
Well, this is Kelly. I have a lot of friends who, after, you know, they have their children and then they're trying to make the decision whether or not to go back to work, have sat down and calculated out to the nth expense. Definitely. So their professional clothes, their lattes, you know, and the muffin in the morning and their latte in the afternoon, and calculated out every last cost to see if it's cost effective for them to go back to work. Some have found that it is, some have found that it isn't, and they've made the decision not to go back to work because it wasn't cost effective. Mm-hmm.
Sharon, if you were, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but if you were to put a dollar amount on an hourly dollar amount on the price of what you do for your grandson, what would that be? If you were to go into business for yourself, how much would you charge per hour?
Well, I'm really blessed because my daughter and son-in-law pay me, and it wasn't a decision that I made because, of course, I would keep him for free. But my daughter felt that, Mommy, you know, we can afford it. And we don't want to take advantage of you. You're retired. And we know that, you know, you could use the income. And she said, so we want to pay you what we would pay if he was going to a daycare center. And with that, she said, we have peace of mind. The situation for us is really ideal because my daughter and son-in-law were able to rent a house directly across the street from me.
Wow. So, holy cow. I mean,
for me, it's great because I can go across the street in my pajamas if I'm late, and I don't have to worry about somebody saying, you're taking care of my child in your pajamas? You know, so I have to be at my daughter's at 5:30. She has to be to work at 6. My son-in-law is in the military, so he has to be at formation by 5. So they're able to go to work. They're able to leave. They don't have to wake him up. They don't have to dress him. They don't feed him. They don't bathe him. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, I provide, you know, fix dinner most of the time. So I get paid $200 a week. And I think that it's just, to me, it's a lot of money. I want to be able to provide a center where children are able to come. But I don't want it to be a place where parents are, you know, overcharged. So I know for infants, people charge anywhere from, what, $300, $350 a week?
Not in D.C.
Way more than that.
DC. Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. We figured a nanny would have been about $40,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah. Dollars?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. U.S. dollars?
U.S. dollars.
You can find it like 30, but it's still.
For two infants, though.
Yeah.
I will say it's one of the things that my mother, who still lives back in Illinois, panicked about when we first started having kids because, you know, I grew up in an area where, you know, all her sisters lived there, her parents lived there, everybody was there. There was a built-in unit. When I was young, you know, if one of the parents was busy, well, you were dropped at aunt's house, uncle's house, doesn't exist here for us. Yeah. And I know a lot of people it doesn't. It's a transient area to a great extent. Yeah. And she panicked. She was like, I don't know, how you think you're going to raise kids there with no infrastructure? Mm-hmm. Luckily, and I will sing the praises of the grandmother, my mother-in-law, who was with us, my eldest daughter, for a long time. And you cannot underestimate having a grandmother.
That's great.
It's one of the greatest inventions ever.
And Sharon, they're going to miss you.
I agree. Oh, yeah.
So who did you all think would take care of? You know, when you first thought about having children, it was still sort of there were glimmer in your eye and you thought, okay, I think I might go back to work, or I'm going to try to figure out this structure, or if I don't go to work, I can at least get out of the house a little bit. And who did you think might take care of your child, and how does that match up with what actually happened?
This is Stacy, and like I had no idea. I didn't think about it, who was going to take care of my kids. I just said, oh, I'll go to college, I'll go to law school, I'll have a family, and I'll put them in daycare, I guess. I didn't think about it too hard. But now if I meet young moms or my friends that are pregnant, I tell them, stop and think about it seriously right now, because what if you don't want to go back to work? Are you able to afford to stay home? Because, you know, that's like my only regret in my life, is that I didn't get to stay home for the first few years of my child's life because I didn't plan for it.
Well, you know, they need you just as much as they get older.
Understood. But I feel like now with the they're relying on you for everything, and you have to be at the Halloween parade, and you have to be at the, you know, whatever, Spirit Day. That's the hard part.
Being a single parent. Sorry, this is Angela. Being a single parent, I knew when I was pregnant from, I mean, the moment I found out, I was like, oh, gosh, how am I going to do this? And you definitely go through sticker shock.
Any other pearls of wisdom?
I think just making sure that you're a flexible person. I mean, it's, you know, I've learned a lot more flexibility and learned that sometimes something that you may have said no to at the beginning, like, I don't think I can do that. Well, when you have to, you do, especially with child care and taking care of your child. The bottom line is it has to be done, whatever it is, you know, so be flexible.
That was Adam Graham. He stayed home with his oldest daughter her first 6 months of life. She starts high school this fall. We also heard from Stacy Ferguson, Corey Driscoll, Tanae Folia, Kelly Ruska, Angela Tillman, and Grandma Sharon Johnson. And before we say goodbye, thank you to all those people who watch children who are not their own. This is NPR.